Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. An important management best practices conversation to share with you today on ventilation. We've assembled for this timely topic Bellstrom Millings, Director of Wean to Finish and Genetic Services, Lance Barton, PIC's Wean to Finish Specialist, Fernando Gomez, and PIC Wean to Finish Tech Service Team Member, Nat Stass.
So I'm Nat Stass, Wean to Finish Tech Service Team. I started with PIC about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. What did you do before that?
I was with the Mashoffs for a little under 2 years, and then I went back to get my master's degree at University of Illinois in Dr. Mike Ellis's lab, which is heavily affiliated with the Mashoffs. So in total, I kind of worked for them and did research for them for close to 5 years.
And the tech team, what's your specific area?
Wean to finish is mostly where I focus my time, and then been doing a lot with ventilation and early pig care stuff.
I'm Lance Barton. I work for Bellstrom Milling, DeMott, Indiana. Be there this July. It'll be 21 years I've worked for Bellstrom's. And it's about 10 years prior to that with a family farm, so I've kind of been in business for over 30 years. I am director over Wean to Finish and Genetic Services. So I overlook our multiplication side of the business and Wean to Finish.
Fernando Gomez. I'm working in Wean to Finish area too in PAC. My career started in PAC in 1998. I worked with PAC during 15 years in Latin America, and today in the last 5 years I'm working in the United States and went to finish charity too.
The difference between Latin America and here?
Really the main difference is the technology that they are using. You know? In Latin America, for example, they are using natural ventilated barns. In the United States, we are using more technology, mechanical ventilated barns. They have more labor. Availability than the United States, so you can take the technology, less technology than the United States. No? Mm-hmm. The challenge of the weather is totally different. We have 60 degrees, the difference between summer and winter. In Latin America, it's more mild weather, so this kind of the main difference.
So ventilation, what's a big deal? Why is it important?
Well, to me, I mean, I always preach to my guys that, you know, we've got good feed, good water, good health, and ventilation. They all tie together. And ventilation is a start of, you know, having healthy pigs. I mean, if the quality of air isn't good or it's too humid, then we use it to take out the humidity out of the air, to keep the temperatures, you know, that we want into the room. So, you know, I view ventilation as, you know, one of the most important things that we can do at the farm.
Yes, keep the good quality of the air. And, well, the people, in some cases, they are confusing between temperature and ventilation rate. When we mix both concepts, we start to have a problem. When we want to keep the temperature and we are reducing the ventilation rate for that reason, in some moment we start to have problems, no? Especially in wintertime.
Yeah, I think Lance touched on it. I mean, for me, it's just it kind of ties everything together, but, I mean, the quality of air is definitely one of the most important things, so... You know, we understand with, especially with humidity references, you know, if we have too much humidity or if we have too little humidity, we could have disease challenges. So we want to limit that, obviously, as much as possible.
And today, at least from the PAC point of view, when we are making improvement in Latin America, we are making a very good performance of the pig. We can see that. Maybe in the United States we are living with that technology, but when you are going to the country, they are not controlling the ventilation. I started to control ventilation. Really, you can see 10%, at least 1 week less to market. This is very interesting.
So there's, in fact, a cost if ventilation isn't managed as well, an economic outcome if the ventilation isn't spot on.
It can affect marketing along with... You know, days to market can slow it down, so you don't turn your barn over as fast. It can affect, like I said earlier, health. We talked about the health. You know, if it gets the humidity is too high in the barn, then you have respiratory challenges with the humidity. So if you're not properly ventilating the barns that way, then it can cause some serious problems.
So we've got a guy or a individual who make sure that our pigs are right weight, size, ready to go. We got people to help with our gilt selection. Do we need a champion for ventilation?
Yeah, I mean, I think ventilation is a very complex issue. And I mean, I think with the controllers we have, it doesn't make it necessarily any easier because they're so complex in themselves. So I think we need, you know, ideally multiple people, but definitely one person at least that kind of leads that charge and really takes ownership of it to not only understand ventilation concepts and what the barn should feel like and look like, but also how to use that controller and manipulate that to get the desired outcome.
Yeah, I agree with Nat. I think I like for several people to understand or at least know a little bit about the ventilation, but I do believe it comes down usually on each farm. You want somebody to be the champion that, you know, he can mess with it, because if you get too many people messing with it, it can throw the controller out of whack. And I think with our technology today, with the barns we have, you know, the controllers are great and they do marvelous things, but actually just talking down or on the way down here, talking to the coworker, and we're just like, you know, ventilation is a thing though you gotta look at every day. You know, you got the controller that does it for you. There's things that happen, you know, the outside wind, if it's real windy outside and blowing against your fans and you're not, you know, running wide open, well, your curtain may not drop down. You know, it depends on what kind of controller you have. If it works off of static pressure, well, then if you lower the curtain by hand a little bit so you get more air in, well, your curtains will work or your fans will work a little harder or better. So I think it's, you know, it's an everyday thing that you really got to, you know, get the feel for and understand and let the pigs tell you what they, you know, if they're hot or not. Because if it's too hot in the barn or too cold, they don't eat very well. So there again goes back to performance.
Yes, exactly. And the people, not all the people are understanding well the controller. Not all the people are understanding well how the ventilation system is working. So I think the first step is the people need to know their ventilation system and have a couple of the indicators that know how the ventilation system is working well. So it's not big rocket science, but the people, they are feeling this very high technology. They cannot touch the controller. They cannot, but at the end, it's not true. They don't understand the system.
So we almost need to teach our people to identify when something's wrong so they can let us know that something's wrong. And then our expert champion, person who knows which way to switch what, can come in.
Yeah, I mean, I want everybody to know something that's so, because you don't always have the champion or somebody who's in charge at the farm every day. You know, you got weekends, you got holidays, so they got to be off. So, you know, I like the one person, but I also want other people to understand, know how, hey, if they need to adjust something, they can. And then when the guy, the manager comes back, usually our managers are kind of the champions of our farms. So when they come back, they can, you know, adjust it if they need to. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But yeah, it's a very complex issue. And I've been, like I said, been in business for over 30 years, and it's, you know, I'm still learning today. You know, I work with these two gentlemen and other people, and you're always learning. You need the tools to help you do that. Like wind meters are very important. And that's something that PIC has brought to us about helping us with understanding what that means. Do you have the proper airflow? Do you have enough openings to get enough air in for the pigs? So understanding all the technical terms and like CFMs, feet per minute on the wind speeds, there's a lot of complications. It seems complicated, but, you know, it's not.
It's not.
It's just taking the time to learn it.
This is a very, very important point, because all the people know the ventilation is very important, but nobody has a ventilation tools to measure the ventilation system. Right. So at the end, they say, well, if for you if the ventilation is very good, why do you don't have any tool?
And I think Lance's point about, you know, it's something you need to check every day. I mean, not that like when you talk, say, nutrition, it's not necessarily any less important, but it's one of those things that doesn't necessarily need checked every day. You know, maybe pan coverage and things like that, but your diets are kind of set on how the pig grows. Where ventilation, I mean, that's something that literally, I mean, if you have 30, 40 degree temperature swings from night to day, I mean, you could really throw off your system. So it's something that, you know, I think that we need a lot more education on and more understanding in the barns on, and something that literally needs checked day in and day out.
You know, we said earlier that there's a cost to incorrect ventilation, but What are some of the issues that you've seen where someone has let that controller run wild and now suddenly, well, you mentioned curtains maybe not going all the way up and down, but what are the issues on farm that are caused by insufficient or poor ventilation?
Well, I think Nat just said a few minutes ago about 30, 40, 60 degree swings in a day. And we see that, you know, probably the most challenging ventilations are in the fall and spring because you got such a fluctuation of temperature. Well, I've seen an example where, you know, we've had a pretty cold winter, I should say. Well, we haven't really had a spring, just all of a sudden it popped up. So, you know, you go from, you know, 30 degree days to 60 degree days in a blink of an eye, and people aren't prepared. They, you know, they got their winter ventilation in, they've got some fans shut off, so the curtain won't work right because we don't have enough air movement. And next thing you know, it can be, if you got a set point of, I'll throw, say 70 degrees, and they go in there, 78, 80 degrees in a room because fans weren't turned on, those pigs, you know, start tail biting, you know, start having vices, you know, ear necrosis, flank biting, and it's just because they're uncomfortable. So that's a, you know, there's an example right there that, you know, I just seen myself in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. And respiratory problems, usually because we have too much gases inside, and propane costs too, when you are not going with ventilation rate, you would spend more propane for keep the temperature, the room temperature.
Yeah, I think one of the, you know, just coming out of winter, and I think, you know, Lance touched on kind of the fluctuations, and that's definitely a big issue we see. And another thing, you know, that I've commonly seen in this winter would be just, you know, the temp, Fernando touched on earlier, but the understanding of temperature and ventilation and how they're actually two different things. And, you know, people think, well, in the winter, I just need to shut my barn down and I need to keep that temperature in there because I want to save on propane costs and I want to keep those pigs warm, especially when they're younger. But we still need to move air in there to reduce the humidity. So understanding that those are two different concepts and we still need to move air through that barn. We can't just close it up and hope the pigs survive that. So.
And the typical sign is the humidity inside. When you can see the wet slat, you say, well, we need more ventilation here because it's obviously we are not having the correct air exchange inside of the building. No? And the disease or the virus problem is coming after that for sure.
So you guys have made a really good point, which is there are some obvious visual clues when you're walking into a situation. And given that I have my table of experts here that can say, I'm concerned enough about ventilation that it's a key element, a key portion of what I'm tasked with. When you walk into a barn, what are the top five that you really pay attention to when you walk into a barn that you haven't been in?
For me, from a ventilation perspective, it's definitely initially that first, when that air first hits you, it would be, you know, the gases and humidity. So the smell, you know, is, how strong is that ammonia and the odor? Does it kind of burn a little bit or do your eyes water, you know, and that'll give you a sense of, you know, is the ventilation dialed in or is it a little off? From there, you know, you just look at floors and if they start to get damp or water lines with condensation. To also give you some indications of humidity. Those are the initial steps you would take, you know, from a ventilation perspective when you walk into a room for me.
I agree 100% with that. It's, you know, you walk in and you can know immediately by, you know, smell or the gas, your eyes will burn a little bit. You also can tell by if it feels hot in there or cold in there. And the pig, looking at the pigs, they'll tell you too. I mean, if it's, if they're piled up, like they're huddling because they're cold, or if they're all spread out and not touching one another because they're hot. Because pigs want to, you know, touch each other when they lay down. They like, you know, being next to each other. So, you know, if you walk in and it's 50 degrees outside and you don't have any ventilation, they're all spread out because they're so hot or can't breathe. It's a big alarming.
Yeah, I could add the airspeed by inlet, because in some cases when you are walking in the barn, you are not seeing the real problem at night. So the good sign is if you don't have the correct airspeed, you can assume you will have problems some hours during the day.
You know? You go in and you find a setting that's been incorrect, meaning you find these symptoms. What's the response from the personnel who have been in there and have been dealing with
burning eyes.
Why isn't something done? In your experience, what have people told you?
I mean, I think Lance probably can answer this the best, you know, just being working with a production company. But, you know, with the stuff that we hear is just the complexity of the controllers and just of the understanding of ventilation. I just don't think people necessarily feel comfortable because there's a lot of buttons on some of those controllers and especially the new interfaces out there. Luckily with, you know, some of the younger people coming into the industry, they're more apt to smartphones and technology, so they probably can play with buttons a little bit better, but I think it's just they're scared they're going to twist something wrong or hit the wrong button and throw it way off and leave for the day and things go really wrong.
No, I agree. I mean, that's the main reason people don't understand it. And it's just some of it's late. I mean, I hate to say it, but sometimes just laziness. I mean, and some people don't want to appear they don't know. You know, they don't want to tell you they can't do their job or, hey, I don't understand this or. And I try to express to my employees, you know, always ask questions. It's never a dumb question. Don't feel like you're dumb or I hate to say the word stupid, but you know that's how they feel sometimes. And part of it is, you know, we ask a lot of our employees. They work hard and a lot going on. So you know, they might run into a room. They may notice it. There's something wrong, but they're in and out or looking at something. Well, then they get busy doing the next task. And then before you know it, they're already like they forgot about that because or something else happened or there's a broken water line or a broken feed system and then their mind moves on to that and they kind of out of sight out of mind if you don't work on it at that moment.
In a perfect world, every controller would be the same model and same series in an operation. How often does that happen?
No, we are not living in perfect world. I think we have more. More equipment than we have too much different equipment. And this is the one weakness thing in ventilation. When you are going to the one farm, you have one equipment, and you are going to the other farm, and maybe they have other equipment. Obviously, the technology is improving. Mm-hmm. So we are using the new technology. The new equipment are more friendly too. It's easy to work with them. But you buy you build the system for 10 years, and obviously, in 10 years, the technology will change, no? So that is a big challenge. You know,
I was fortunate at our company for a lot of years. We kind of always had the one company throughout all our six companies we had. So, you know, it was really easy, you know, go from one farm to other. And everybody knew what was going on. But with the new technology, like Fernando mentioned, you know, things are changing, especially the last 5-6 years. And with these controllers starting to be able to be on the web or internet, where you can use your iPhone, like Nat said, they're really starting to do some pretty cool stuff, and you know, in the future, I think hopefully the younger generation will latch onto that better. Because these phones, you can pull up and look at a barn right now and say, you know, how much is your opening? What's the humidity? How many fans are running? Just tells you everything. And I think when you put all that package together, you know, it can give you a good idea. We don't have them all in our barns. You know, someday I hope we can have like humidity probes and everywhere. Because to me, that's where it all starts, humidity. Yeah. Mm. You know, if you can keep humidity under control, you can use a ventilated barn very well.
Yeah, and this is a good point about the controller and the people and the capacity of this equipment, because obviously the old equipment that we have in the system was designed for some specific quantity of the pigs per month. But I think today we are pushing a little more the stocking density in our building. So obviously the old equipment, they don't have enough capacity to have a good ventilation rate. So the people don't understand well because they are not understanding well their system too. So it's like a cycle, no? They say, well, if you are not understanding your system, how you are using or your barn with more pigs, and in that moment you are reducing the ventilation rate per pig. The ventilation is just one for the building, no? The pigs are not the same too. They have more average daily gain. We are selling heavy pigs too. So I think one thing is understand the system, and second is how much pig we are placing in the barns too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I think, you know, in all aspects, but you know, kind of planning for the future. I mean, you know, when we talk linear feeder space or any of that, I mean, you know, you think, okay, however many years ago we were marketing at 260 pounds and then, you know, my barn's going to last 10, 15, 20 years, and we're going to be marketing at 300. So they think about, hey, I need to add more space. But I think ventilation is one of those things where we don't, if, as average daily gain changes or feed conversion, they're going to produce more BTUs, and we may not always have the inlet capacity or the fan capacity to be able to ventilate that properly.
Yeah, that's a great point. In the situation of a barn refit, where we know we're going to larger animals, we know, you know, we got to do something because of the quantity that we're running through. Have you ever seen them incorporate ventilation changes in a barn refit?
Yeah, I mean, I have a follow-up visit scheduled, but we were in a barn this past fall out in the Midwest, and we kind of recommended that, you know, because the amount of pigs you're putting in this barn, and this, the level at which you're growing them or the weight at which you're growing them to, we need to probably add another fan to be able to reach our minimum ventilation capacity. So I haven't been out there yet to follow up, so I don't know if they added the fan, but I hope they did. I mean, they had the capabilities and the framework to do it, but so, I mean, these guys could probably speak to that, but hopefully they're willing to retrofit the barn, you know, in the interim to adjust for that.
Yes, and it's in minimum ventilation problems and in maximum too, because the minimum ventilation at the end we can jump to the next stage.
Right.
But in maximum ventilation, no. This is the maximum capacity of the building. We are expecting some CFM per pig, but at the end, if we don't have enough capacity, you don't have more capacity to work in the building. So the pigs will suffer a little for maximum ventilation summertime. So you have more weight, more pigs, and less maximum ventilation rate. And today, I think the old building, the design was for 40 seconds, for example, very specific thing in ventilation rate. Today, are going to 30 seconds of the ventilation rate. So the reason is because the pigs need more replacement rate than the times ago, too. More BTU than Nat mentioned.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Filtered barns. Obviously a relatively new entry, and yet we've got some experience with them. Are filtered barns, the ones that you're familiar with, managed well for ventilation?
I mean, filtered in from the wean to finish perspective is not very common at all, just because the investment doesn't necessarily make sense from the sow farm. But I mean, you know, so I don't have a ton of experience with them just yet, but I think, you know, as long as they have the right capacities and they're pulling the right amount of air in a positive pressure type of system, it can work very well. I think, you know, I just hope with a lot of them, I hope they're just planning for the future and how the pigs are going to change, because I think they're probably designed for moving the amount of air or pushing the amount of air into the barns they need today. But in 20 years, that may be quite a bit different. So
The unique place that I saw the filter barns in wind to finish is in guild developing units. Mm-hmm. Yep. Maybe you want to keep save your guild, and in that case you could use it. But from the economic point of view, until today, with the cost of the technology, I think it's not available.
Yeah, it's not feasible for wind to finish barns to be filtered today. Because a lot of them are spread out, so if you do break with a disease, you're emptying the barn, you can clean it up and start over again. Whereas sow farm, yeah, you don't have that option. So people are protecting the sow farm. But I personally don't have a lot of, we don't have any barns that are filtered, so it's pretty new. We're looking into it, but I understand it, but I don't know that much about it to really comment.
I mean, I think, you know, the concepts are still all the same. You know, you still need to move the same amount of air, have the same CFMs, and probably the same airspeed, but we just need to make sure we have the capacity to do that. And you know, with, you know, filtration systems probably getting dirty and fan blades getting dirty and things like that, we need to understand how that's going to affect the system as well. Because when they're brand new, they operate great, but when they start getting some age on them, then it's going to change. So
now, in that case, with filters, maybe it's good idea to work with cooling path.
Yeah.
Because it's more effective to reduce the temperature inside when you have filters. It's more challenge for the building to have filters. So, and cooling pad working very well in wind to finish. Every day I am seeing more cooling pad system in wind to finish area. Especially when you have tropical weather, it's very nice.
So nursery growers, how is ventilation different?
In terms of the finishing barn, maybe it's very similar to when to finish, no? But in terms of the nursery, are totally different because the nursery room are smaller than the when to finish barn. And usually, for maximum ventilation, they are using cooling pad in nurseries to keep the temperature. And when to finish, you are using the airflow to reduce the temperature. And well, in terms of the keep the temperature, you are using in winter finish the brooders and heaters. More in nursery, you are using more heaters because the brooder is bigger for the small room. So we have a little difference between them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the concepts are obviously still the same, but they're just typically smaller rooms, like Fernando touched on. Typically, possibly different flooring, whether it be plastic or wire. So that'll change how the pigs feel the temperature and how the temperature is maintained in the room, so you could change your ventilation rates accordingly. So I think it's just that the rooms are designed a little bit different than, say, a wean-to-finish facility.
Yeah, as long as you got the proper minimum ventilation with the fans, you know, they're easier to keep, you know, the pigs more comfortable in the nursery than a wean-to-finish. You're not heating so much of a big area.
Yes. What's the airflow difference? I mean, I think of being in a farrowing room and there's movement, but certainly not what I would see in a finishing building. Yes? Is that correct?
No, the goals are the same in different stage, are the same. CFM per pig and some quantity of the CFM per pig. The difference is in when you are working in nurseries, like Lance mentioned, your minimum ventilation is easier to keep them because you have a smaller fans to work on that. And when to finish, the big challenge is minimum ventilation because for the building design, most of the time you are over-ventilated the system. So the comfort zone in when to finish is very important, and that is the reason because we are using brooder, we are using mat, we are keeping the room temperature. When you are going to the nursery, because you can keep better the temperature, you can ventilate better the system.
So some numbers. What are specs? What numbers are you looking for?
Well, I mean, CFMs per pig would be one. So, I mean, starting off with wean pigs, based on like a 12-pound wean pig, we would say 2 CFMs per pig. And this is all basis in minimum ventilation. So to just maintain the room temperature, and that's the amount of air that you need to move to maintain humidity. So we would say 2 CFM per pig. And then as they get up to 280, 285 pounds, then we get into 14 CFM per pig for our minimum ventilation. And then with humidity, we would recommend to keep it below 65%. Rarely do we ever get below 50%, but we would say above 50% as well, because we understand with the respiratory disease challenges out there, that's kind of the ideal window to be in. And then airspeed, typically we want to be between 600 and 800 feet per minute.
At the inlet. In maximum ventilation, the standard is, if you are working in tunnel, 400 feet per minute in 40 and 35 seconds for maximum ventilation.
Yeah, you want to exchange the entire volume of the barn, all the air in the barn, in about 45 seconds, max 45 second time frame.
Right. Yeah. You know, we're talking about these numbers, they can get very complicated, or people that know or talk about ventilation, but they never think of it that deep. So, actually, for me and my guys, we're trying to take baby steps and learn. So, I've got every farm now, we have wind meters. And what works best for us and has helped us out a bunch is just trying to get the correct air inlet speed set for our rooms. So, like, we've got a nursery room, you know, if we're trying to maintain 600 feet per minute, and you know, we'll go in and, you know, our inlets, where our inlets are at, and put our wind meter to say, okay, are we 600, or are we 1,000, or are we 200? And if you can read that, and that tells you you're too low or too high, then you can, you know, your minimum speed, usually, you know, you can, your minimums, because you can either raise them the percentage and run 50%, 40%, 100%. So we'll adjust that to where we need to be on our pigs. And same with the finishing, and we're trying for that, you know, around 800 feet per minute, you know, 600 to 800. And so we'll do the same thing and, you know, use a wind meter to tell us, okay. Now, I've had nursery rooms where I was just in a week ago where we got some different things we used, but we had some air inlets that we were like over 1,000 feet per minute. And we wanted to be down, 600. And so you walked in, you immediately saw the pigs, chilled a little bit. And after I'm saying, it is so critical, we wouldn't think, going from 800 to 1,000 or 6 feet per minute, it's a big difference on the hog. And then, like I said, if you're only at 200, 150 feet per minute, then you're not getting enough gases out and getting the air exchange for the pigs to be healthy. So we're trying to simplify a little bit. And then when I work with Fernando on that, then that's when we start talking and trying to calculate, do we have the right CFMs? How many CFMs does a fan pull? How many fans do you need? So, and it gets more technical that way. But it's a learning process, and I think once you get it all figured out, it makes for a much healthier pig and faster growing pig.
Yeah, I think day in and day out, the two key measurements are airspeed and humidity. That's mm-hmm. the if you can measure those every day, and if you're within those window, you're probably ventilating the barn close to ideal.
That is the point, and the other maybe is the temperature, to keep three things at the end.
So ventilation, airspeed, do I turn up the fans, do I adjust the fins, multiple ways to achieve a thing. How do you decide which tool you're going to adjust in order to accomplish what you're out to do?
Oh, that is the more hard question, because it's a multifactorial thing. It's not just one thing.
That is the art.
Yes, exactly. So usually when we are shaking our airspeed, we are shaking our humidity and our temperature, that will be our indicator. But if you have some problems, obviously we need to have our troubleshooting table to check what, if the airspeed is low, what is the reason because airspeed is low? Because we have dirty fans, or we are losing static pressure, or our controller setting is not correct, or our inlet opening is not correct. So I think each company need to have their troubleshooting table or checklist. What is happening with it? Some indicator is not working well. High humidity, okay, but high humidity is because our fan power is not enough, our inlet is not enough, the opening, or our eave is not enough. So it's not just one. It's a key question, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's probably probably about the hardest question you probably could ask. I mean, because it is, there's not a simple answer to that. And that's where just the knowledge of having the tools you have and looking at what is your room temperature? Is it, and if you're right on room temperature or pretty close, but it's really humid in there, well, you're probably not moving enough, have enough airspeed. So you kind of, you look at the airspeed coming in our inlets and usually you just increase the fan. But if you walk in, it's chilly and the heaters are running, your fans are running too fast. So we hear that, or you got to, close your opening up, because you can, have a fan speed, but depending on how you have your opening, you can make it faster, but it doesn't mean we have enough air for the pigs either. You can get the wind speed out of it, but you can't, may not get enough air that you need for the pigs either.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a complicated question, but that's, like I said, ventilation is probably the most misunderstood thing there is that we do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I think, and Fernando mentioned it, PIC, the Wiener Finish team with PIC developed a troubleshooting table, and so it kind of, it's pretty basic, but it hits on a lot of important points. If you walk into a room and it's humid or your floors are wet, it kind of goes through, each area you should check. And you should never just go to a first area and figure out, hey, this is what I need. This is an issue and I could fix this. Each and every time you need to go through the checklist and check each point, because it could be a multitude of factors.
This kind of the troubleshooting table could provide you a good learning process, too. So the people will understand well the checking point, if they have clear which kind of the checking point they need to have.
Well, it kind of goes back to then when we talked about, ventilation is a daily thing. And if you do have an issue like that, that's something that you look at the checklist, you go over. But it's something you got to come back to in a few hours or to recheck, because you can make the adjustments, but you got to make sure the adjustments you made are correct. You just don't walk away and say, I'll check it tomorrow. You want to come back later that afternoon or whatever to make sure that the adjustments you made are correct.
Yes, and an adjustment change in accord to the season, too.
Exactly.
In accord to the weight of the pigs, too. So it's not just one thing, no?
Issues. What are the common issues that you see in the barn? Typical reasons why it's not working well.
Yeah, I mean, I think just general maintenance of the equipment, whether that be inlets or fans or anything like that. Between turns, we need to make sure that, you know, the belts are replaced or tight and operating properly. Everything's clean. You know, we go in and we pressure wash the barn and try to get all the organic matter out of there. But, you know, do we really go outside and clean off the fan blades and the fan louvers? So I think just any general maintenance from that perspective. We have some graphs and different pictures that show, you know, if we have a inlet that is just completely gone and there's a hole in the ceiling, or we leave a door open or something like that with infiltration issues, how that affects our airspeed, and we're not controlling the how the air enters the barn in that way. So it's amazing leaving one door open to the outside can knock out, you know, a whole bunch of inlets. So air is going to move into the barn at the easiest access point, the least restriction. So I think just general maintenance between turns is very common, the cleanliness and then just general maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's just observations of what's working. You know, see a lot of belts slipping on fans. You know, we have belt drive fans, so over time they just get old. If they sit all winter and we turn them on in the spring. So everything he said, I agree. And then another thing, sometimes this doesn't work because employees will look at the controller and they think they're adjusting something and they're adjusting the wrong area. So sometimes, you know, I'll come in and the controller's messed up because someone wasn't, you know, they were trying to learn it. So, you know, I'm not mad, but it just, you know, you just notice like, huh, why is this off a little bit? Or, you know, you got a 2-degree change here or a 4-degree, and makes a big difference just, you know, not knowing the controller and understanding that fully.
In some cases, we don't have the uniform inlet opening in the building, so this is our typical things. Pit level during the winter, when you have too much level in your pit, obviously your pit fans would work with less power.
Anything that we've talked about that you'd like to ask a question of one of the other guests here?
I mean, I think one, you know, just out of curiosity for myself and working with some other customers, I'd ask of Lance is just, you know, where are we pushing the temperature at when the pigs are just right before marketing, you know, at what level? Cause we're seeing some that are really pushing that bottom end and really trying to decrease that temperature and getting great performance. So I guess, what are you seeing? Are you guys trying to push that temperature down and how's that affecting performance?
Yeah, I think, you know, from what I know, like in the wintertime, we'll push it down, you know, 63, 64 degrees. You know, we like to go a little lower than that, but I've always been told, you know, you get a pig much below 60 degrees temperature wise in the barn, then it starts burning some of the fat to stay warm.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got cold days, we're shooting at 63 to 65 range. Sometimes if it's really cold, it might be 65 because you get a cold winter night and that temperature drops and zero outside, the wind blowing. You know, we set our heaters to come up about three degrees below set point. So if you got set at 63 and you go down to 60 before it turns on, well, it actually drops down probably 59, 58 and a half to catch up.
Yep.
So we'll kind of use 65 and then we'll jump to 63. And then in summertime, you know, can't really set it too low because it never really gets much colder than 60 degrees. So, right. And the heat of the pigs, and even at 50 degrees with the pigs that big, you know, we'll go down to 62, 63 in summertime for a set point.
Yep.
And I see it, we're doing very well.
Some additional maybe is when we are making market cuts before that or after that, you need to adjust your equipment too, you know. When you are removing pigs from your building for sure, the rest of the pig are not producing the same heat, and we need to adjust the system. If not, we will shield them, no? Especially in fall and spring in this season.
Yeah.
How are you training your people about the ventilation?
How we're training is one thing, you know, I try to have PIC. There's some other companies. We try to get 2 or 3 visits a year, coming to our farms to talk with our employees, to, you know, talk about calculating CFMs and how to use the wind speed. We do that. And then for all the farms now, I've bought a wind meter. And so we're trying to get in that practice of every day. when they start a new building out, a new nursery room, now let's turn the fans on and we put the pigs in there. Let's see what our wind speed is. So that's kind of our starting point. Like we said earlier, so there, it probably gets overlooked, and it is a complicated area. Maybe we make it more complicated than what we need to, but like I said, I think our older barns aren't, we don't have enough fans, we don't have enough air inlets. So how do you accommodate for that? Do you leave a door open in the hallway to get more in, or do you know what I'm saying? You just can't. There's always things to learn on ventilation. So I'm trying to, every year, especially for the last 3 or 4 years, has been one of my number one focus is ventilation. Because if we get that correct, the pigs really do perform quite well. And when we have had issues or big blow-ups or certain vices, there's a lot of times we can go back and relate it to temperature. I have all our nurseries and finishers. We keep daily logs of high, low temperatures and what the set point is. So I can walk into a barn and say, look, 2 weeks ago, and say, man, why is it, 8 degrees below set point?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a heater out. Mm-hmm. Well, then, a few days later, you got scours or you got coughing pigs. So you can really, if you have the proper tools and you keep track of things, you can really look back on instances and say, I wonder if that was the start of this, because we know that any type of stress on these our new pigs today causes issues.
Right.
Now, we can keep the stress away, and temperature is one of it, hot, cold, humidity. Every little bit helps.
Joining us on The Squeal today were Belstra Milling's Lance Barton, along with PIC's Nat Stass and Fernando Gomez, sharing decades of ventilation experience. You're welcome to share this PIC podcast widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.